You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
The Frames Per Second Podcast.
See that article? Every year, these liberal elites kidnap a bunch of normal folks like us and hunt us for sport.
The last I heard, free speech still exists.
Don't First Amendment me.
It wasn't real.
Everybody get out of here!
We were joking.
There's been a killing spree. You gotta come here right now.
You actually believed we were hunting human beings for sport. But you are.
What's going on? It's your boy Nikki Duce, a.k.a. Mr. No Disrespect. And you're now tuned in to the Frames Per Second Podcast. In this episode, you're dealing with a limited team, the Corona Crew. That's what I'm calling it. we appreciate y'all listening, and we're just trying to give y'all something to keep y'all minds off of everything that's going on. But please be safe out there and make sure y'all keep your hygiene up. But to get on with this show, this episode we are reviewing the Blumhouse, another Blumhouse production.
The
Hunt, the controversial political film that should have came out last year, but they pushed it back because of the mass shootings in Ohio and all over the country. Unfortunately, you get used to it after a while. But yeah, it's pretty much the premise is just what was so controversial about it was just like trail strangers mysteriously wake up in the middle of the forest, and it's basically Hunger Games with rated R. But it's more about liberals versus conservatives, with the liberals being the ones that's doing the hunting and the conservatives are being hunted. So that's pretty much the premise of the film. Starting off, they started off the film hot too. Like, you start seeing that text thread that pretty much starts the whole hunt. Which, or allegedly, going into the film, I thought the hunt was already a thing. Mm-hmm. But from as you watch the film, you kind of realize that everything is happening just a year later when you get to the end. But as far as the beginning, you see the text thread that starts it all, where one of the people say we should just, you know, hunt these deplorables and just kill them and, and write them off. And from there, you just see the plane ride, right, where they're in the plane and it just looks like a normal plane ride with a guy talking to the stewardess, and then all of a sudden you just see this drugged out big dude in the back just coming out of nowhere, and that's when you know shit is getting fucked up or something's crazy happening. What did y'all think as far as it starting off and that plane scene in general?
Well, I missed all of that. I was sitting in the wrong theater for the first 25 minutes.
What movie were you watching?
Dead ass serious. Nothing. Nothing. I was sitting there just watching the trailers go by, and I was in my phone. I'll tell you, the when I walked in the theater, the first thing I saw was the white blonde chick. Mm-hmm. That was the first thing I saw her on the screen with the little thing in her mouth.
Okay, so you didn't miss too much.
Yeah. So I appreciate everything you just said because I missed all of that.
Wow. Well, then I forgot to do one thing. What did y'all think of the film? Did y'all like it? Hate it?
Why are you looking at me?
Because you always go first.
Nah, man, I didn't, and I think it's my own fault, only because I didn't know the shit was a satire until that motherfucker fell in that goddamn pit.
You talking about the girl?
Yes. Oh, yeah. And there was some other moments I was like, wait a minute, is this? And then when she fell in the pit, it just confirmed it, and she just sitting in there with the spikes, and then he pulled her out, and she was still alive, and they were running off. And I'm like, what the fuck? I'm like, oh my God. I said, oh my God. I just put my head in my head in my hand. And I'm like, oh my God, what the hell am I about to watch?
And so you checked out from there?
I gave it a chance. I gave it a chance, but the ending just didn't close it for me.
What about you, Mike?
Well, unlike Ken, I don't think it was smart enough to be a satire. I more looked at it like it was a spoof. But entertainment factor, I was entertained.
Yes.
I thought the message was garbage, you know. But just as a general, you know, people getting fucked up, cool fight scenes, I was happy when I left the theater. I was laughing. But yeah, it was just the messaging that they were trying to put out through the film I thought was
Yeah, for me, I enjoyed myself as well. Like I really had a good time. The fight scenes were actually, it reminded me, like, did they try to do a political take of Kill Bill in a way? That's what it reminded me of. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the messaging, that's why it confused me. A question, we'll get back to more of the beginning, but the question I had was just like, as far as what the film was about, was it a spoof or a satire, or is it just more of, we just doing some wacky, kooky shit because this is the era that we're in?
They built, at what I read, because I had to go research, figure out what the fuck I just watched. So I was like, okay, was this intended to be a satire? So what I read, billed it as a satire. Mm-hmm. I think Mike is more spot on as it being more of a spoof than a satire. I did laugh out loud. You know, I did laugh out loud at a lot of moments after I kind of resisted it at first. But then they got me. And I think like a quarter of a way through, I was like, okay, if I would have came in with the expectations, because I felt it was more Sharknado than the Wayans brothers, like scary, well, maybe scary movies, but
yeah
it was more Sharknado for me. Mm-hmm. I got a Sharknado feel with some of the things that they were doing than anything else. So if I would have went in knowing it was a Sharknado-like movie, because I like Sharknado, so I can watch movies like this and get the enjoyment out of it. But again, my expectations were set. And I think maybe I kind of, that's, so yeah, I don't know, man.
I looked at it when I finished it, because like halfway through I started getting annoyed, because some of the political jokes were a bit too on the nose and they started to get really bad. And I started thinking, I was like, this is like a really whack centrist version of like a Jordan Peele movie.
Hmm.
That the problem I had with the movie is it was nowhere near as smart as it thought it was. If they just went all the way out and just made everything stupid and goofy, they'd have been better off. But it seemed like they tried
to take it seriously.
To take it seriously at certain moments, and I was like,
but I couldn't tell if that was like a comedic genius type of thing, because like some of the stuff they were saying, like you can't take that seriously, but it is talking about something in a way. You know what I mean? Like after the airplane scene, you get to the where they wake up in the desert. That's when you start seeing like, oh, they taking people's heads off, literally.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting Emma Roberts to die in the first
me neither.
5 minutes of the fucking movie.
Or is even, that the one like it, that almost hit me?
Yeah that's the one. Yeah, and
I was like, I thought she was gonna be the main character aside the blonde, because she's a big actor, exactly. Big actress, but she's a no name.
For this film, yeah, she's a no name.
She died immediately.
And the guy did too. Like the guy
from This Is Us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They took him out too.
Oh, that's who that was?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was Kevin from This Is Us. I did not expect him to die at all.
Yeah, so like you see that happening, and like the people escape. There's more killing, but people escape to this gas station. And then we meet that gas station couple. Mm-hmm. And from there, like after that whole situation happens, their conversation after they've killed the people that they came into the gas station.
Yeah, I started getting really annoyed. But
wait, that's what it was like. This has to be a joke, right?
Wasn't it all white people?
Yes.
And the one white black guy, the hip hop guy that dressed all cool and shit like that.
Yeah. Vanilla Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what they said.
Well, they explained why that was at the end, they explained why that was, but I thought you were talking about as far as the liberals. It was all white people.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, everybody in the damn film except for the one Indian dude was white. But I just started getting annoyed when they were like, oh, well, they're shooting guns at you. And, you know, don't you believe in stand your ground? Aren't they doing what you guys want them to do? And it was like, all right, this is a bit too on the nose. And then after they killed them all, you know, then the guy runs over and he's like, oh, climate change, bitch. And I was like, all right, dude, really? And then it was just more. And then
that's why I feel like it had to be like that. They had to know they were just doing that shit just to fuck with people.
No, I don't think they were taking that part seriously. It was just, It was like they were just going too far to where it started to get to the point where it was like, all right, this isn't really funny. This just sounds like these are really bad forced jokes. Mm-hmm. Like, it was like every liberal trope you could think of, they fought, like, tried to shoehorn it into parts of this movie. Like, the guy said something about you guys, and she's like, oh, did you say you guys? Did you, like, oh, yeah. I mean to misgender you? It's like, come on, are we really doing this? And it was just, like, joke after joke after joke that really weren't that funny. And so I just started getting, I mean, maybe it's just me being a snowflake.
No, I mean, that's
just like, this is not that
That's
funny,
clearly
guys.
What the mess, they wanted to get those jokes off.
I feel like they were trying to be Jordan Peele, but they weren't. Yeah. They couldn't do it.
And even when you would look at the conservative side, like, they had their stereotypical jokes as well, too. Like, how I was thinking more of the guy who was calling out the refugees and stuff like that after the guy who shot down the drone. Mm-hmm. After she demolished the gas station couple.
Right.
And, like, he was just walking, like, he was like, oh, you don't believe, like, immigration, this is not going to make me rethink my, you know what I'm saying? It was just like, okay, we get that this is what you want to talk about, and that's how you getting that off.
Yeah.
But even the you were talking about the store, like, when they started talking about black people.
I don't remember.
Remember, they said, oh, he's probably a person that says the N-word out loud.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and she was like, who are you talking about those people when you say those people? Like, oh, I meant black people.
See, yeah.
And she, and she was like, African-American.
And I'm like, oh, my God, are we really going to do this the whole movie?
And they did.
And they did.
Yeah. And it was very and what annoyed me, because I didn't think it was funny, and I got the attempt at humor. I just think the delivery, I don't think the joke was funny. But the people next to me, and they were black, they were laughing their ass off. I'm like, y'all actually really laughing a lot?
I realized this, and I was connecting this because I had a conversation about my friend with Family Guy, and I was like, the reason why I think Family Guy has stuck around for as long as it has because it's not above the cheap laugh, like the real petty cheap laugh that most comics or people, comic writers, they'd be like, I'm not doing that. That's what this film reminds me of. It's like, if you like the political humor in Family Guy, you may like this film. That's at least how I would recommend
it. And I don't watch Family Guy. I don't think I've ever seen an episode, so I can't relate, but it still felt, kind of going back to what Mike was saying, like, it was like message every single time they said something. Exactly. I'm like, oh my God. Yeah. And there wasn't enough around it to make up for that.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah.
Because the main character, Crystal, we can talk about as far as, I don't know what you guys thoughts about her, but we don't really know that much information about her all the way up until the end, if that.
But that was purposeful. Like, this movie, to me, I think what happened was, I think it was originally supposed to be a very anti-liberal movie, which is why it's so funny that all these dumbass conservatives got pissed off about it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think what they did, I think they went back and they reshot certain scenes to make it seem like it was a very centrist movie. If you really watch it, the majority of the jokes are about liberals. The conservative jokes, they kind of just squeezed them in, and they really weren't that impactful. With Crystal, I think they purposely made it to where she doesn't fall on either side of the political spectrum. You know, when I finished watching the movie, I was just like, this movie seems like the entire thing is about canceling. And cancel culture. It's like, instead of just canceling people, we're killing them all together. But then they make this point about how sometimes we get it wrong, where we try to cancel people and they're not actually
guilty of anything. Yeah.
Not necessarily just got the name wrong, but it's just like we try to cancel somebody over some bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
So they tried to cancel Crystal, and it wasn't even the right Crystal. And at no point during the film does Crystal ever give any indication of her political affiliations. Everybody else does. You know, it's shoehorned with even Don. Don at some point comes out and says something racist. You know, everybody there you can kind of figure out. But Crystal, we really don't know what her political affiliation is. And that's why she's the only one that actually lives. I just felt like it was just very cheap. Like, everything about this movie was just really, really cheap. It was still entertaining and funny. But I think the point that they were attempting to make didn't hit.
Yeah, I mean, that was pretty much it. Those words exactly was how I was thinking of it. But it was very entertaining, and I think the action scenes were great enough to break apart with you focusing on the storyline and the plot line, because obviously, like, as we broke down, it wasn't that much there. So I wanted to figure out what were some of you guys' favorite action scenes of this film.
Oh, that end fight.
The end fight was worth it?
That end fight was amazing. It was fucking great. That whole fucking 15-minute long fight, I enjoyed that.
Yeah. I think I just liked how she fucked up that gas station. I don't know why.
Oh yeah.
That shit was fire to me. But that end fight was I liked how they both got tired too, and then they, it was like, let me just take the cinematography and the camera shots. Mm-hmm. I was impressed by that a lot in this film. Like, I didn't expect it to be that, like, you have to focus a lot. Like, there's scenes you just can't take your eyes off of because there's a lot going on, a lot of moving parts, and how bloody it was. I didn't expect it to be that bloody.
I did. Like I said, about a quarter of the way through when I realized there was really no plot to this. And there was really no substance or meat. It had to be bloody. Because it was just like, if we don't really have much of a story here, and we don't really have much of a plot, we have to fall back on something. But, again, it was just like... Like, I remember when they had the part about... one of the guys was questioning, you know, why is there a pig? And they're like, I thought they were supposed to be vegans.
Mm. Yeah, what was the pig supposed to be...
It's from an Orwell. Okay, so the pig was from 1980. Was it 1984? Or is it. Fuck. Shouldn't have had that drink.
I don't know the year, but you're talking about.
No, not the year, the book. It's from a book.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's 1984.
Animal Farm?
No, 1984.
Oh, 1984. Oh, that's what. Because she referenced.
They referenced that Animal Farm in the, right? in the book. In the movie.
Okay, well, maybe it's the book Animal Farm.
Yeah, because that's why she called her Snowball and all that. That's why that was a...
Yeah, but I thought the reference to the pig being Orwell is because 1984 was written by George Orwell.
Oh, okay. I'm unaware of that one.
Is there Orwell in Animal Farm? Oh, well, George Orwell wrote Animal Farm, too.
Oh, he did.
So maybe it was a reference to
it. It was connecting both. To both, yeah.
But, But yeah, like when they
I
were like,
I don't remember reading this book.
I thought everyone.
Everybody, y'all say I remember when they made that. I was like, I can't get away from this damn book. Yeah. I feel like something else.
I'm talking about 1984.
Yeah, I remember reading that in school.
For me, it was a long time ago.
Me too.
1984.
But they also said something about, you know, why'd they give us guns. And they were like, oh, well, maybe they want to make it more of an even playing ground, which is something that vegans say all the time. So it was like, I was like, you guys are not this smart. Like, why couldn't you make the joke more fluid?
Does it make sense that Damon Lindelof wrote this and he also produced this?
Nope, it did
at
not.
At all, because it actually made sense.
Yeah, when I saw his name, I was like, he did this?
Me yeah, that, too. That shocked me when I saw that. I was like, he not only wrote it, but he also, like, this doesn't seem like something that he in his wheelhouse at all, because it had a beginning, middle, and an end. And nothing was, it was just clear cut for what it was.
But then again, for once, this is something that he wrote on his own, right, without any sort of background material. You know, with Watchmen, he had background material with, or the reference leftovers. Material.
Or would you say Animal Farm is the background material for this?
Not really, because Animal Farm is sort of like this, but not really. Because, like, I don't think this really follows any story directly from Animal Farm.
No, it doesn't.
Whereas Watchmen did and Leftovers did. It still followed the story. Granted, he changed the story up a lot for Watchmen. God damn it. But I think maybe it's because, I don't know. Now that you said that, I don't know.
I think maybe, kind of going back to what your point about it trying to be smart, I think the Animal Farm reference was put in there to make it appear smart.
That's like a frame of reference.
Yeah,
like, this is my source.
And Snowball, and then the way they wrote it to make it seem like it was, like, they had intent behind what they were doing based off this book.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so instead of it just being sort of like mindless action.
I can see that.
You know, because I think I can't remember her name.
Crystal.
Crystal. She was interesting because was she from the South? Because at one point
she was from Mississippi.
Her accent was really, really heavy, and then at other times it was not.
Well, because she talked weird and like
she did.
She barely opened her mouth.
Yeah.
And then when she would talk, she'll say something like crazy. Like, remember that scene where she was going through the bunker with the war consultant when she was when she ran through that and like. But she was talking to him, getting more information out of him. She was like, you know, sometimes I'm just like she just opened up her eyes wide.
Yeah,
just quiet.
I didn't get that.
She went,
sometimes I want to go.
Yeah.
And then I finally just
like
I didn't get it.
Like, was this supposed to be like the woman's version of Popeye? Like, is this?
But people were laughing at that. I'm like,
because like she was basically, I thought,
like, where's the joke?
For me, it was just like she's basically saying like, I want to kill people or I want to go crazy sometimes, but where I work at, I can't do that. So let me just get this off because I'm in this situation now. That's why, because he was wondering like, why don't you just go home? You killed everybody,
or even the part because they were on the train and the train, it was supposed to be immigrants, and then one of the guys was a plant. He was fake, and then he was speaking in whatever his native language was, and then it was like, come on, man, you gotta get us all killed.
That was funny.
Yeah. So, and then he got rescued when they let us know that they were in Croatia, right?
Yeah.
And then the guy came that wasn't the ambassador, I want to say.
Right.
So he's in the car interviewing them, and when she put her feet up, I don't know why I'm laughing.
Because it was so quick.
But the noise, though, she went, and then she kicked him.
Oh, did she do that? I didn't catch the noise.
Yeah, she was making weird.
She made a whirring noise like it was a machine.
I didn't hear it.
She was making. That's what I'm saying. She just did some weird things. She was a little off.
And it didn't match.
Oh my god!
Like, that part didn't match her character throughout the rest of the movie because it was just so silly. She put over.
It wasn't until the end. Like, towards the end, that's when she started revealing like she was a little silly as her personality. Like, that's why that scene that I was just telling you about, as far as like her just having her eyes open, just saying like that conversation with the National Guard consultant.
That
was a little silly. And then even her speech before she was about to fight with the main woman who set this whole thing up, like,
mm-hmm.
She was just like, are you gonna make grilled cheese sandwiches, or are we gonna get on with this fight? She had a little personality with it. It just to me, it was just like, we don't know much about her, but we're following her, we're almost rooting for her, and we don't even know where she lies on, like, you, Mike, mm-hmm. you were saying, like, in the spectrum. And then we couldn't even know who to trust.
We'll be back after this quick break.
You're out here hustling, but you're also using the McDonald's app to have your favorites delivered to your door. That's hustling smarter. Order McDelivery in the McDonald's app at participating McDonald's. One morning, you just walk in with a bag of everyone's faves from McDonald's, drop it on the counter, and say, breakfast is on me. Boom! That's the power of saving money on the McDonald's app. Hope you can handle all that. Save money with the app at participating McDonald's. Must opt into rewards. You're out here hustling, but you're also using the McDonald's app to have your favorites delivered to your door. That's hustling smarter. Order McDelivery in the McDonald's app at participating McDonald's. One morning, you just walk in with a bag of everyone's faves from McDonald's, drop it on the counter, and say, breakfast is on me. Boom! That's the power of saving money on the McDonald's app. Hope you can handle all that. Save money with the app at participating McDonald's. Must opt into rewards.
Cause like when she, cause Dom, the last guy that mm-hmm. was survived with them, the original 12, like that ending scene as far as her killing him, like, was that real?
I knew that was bullshit.
You think that was bullshit?
Yeah,
and she just killed him. Just cause?
Yeah. No, I think she killed him because of what that person was. What was her name? Hillary.
It was Athena.
Athena.
Yeah.
What she was saying over the intercom, I don't think she was telling the truth. I don't think Dom was ever working with her.
Hmm. You don't think so?
That's what I was asking myself.
She kind of implied it when she finally met up with her.
Yeah.
In the kitchen, she said something. I forget what
she
was
saying. She said like, "How do you know that?" He wasn't lying or something like that.
Right.
And she was like, what do you mean? And then she was like, I just said what you would think I would say. Like,
right.
She was like, she was kind of basically like, you don't know if I'm fucking with you or not. Because Crystal was saying like, I could be the wrong Crystal. Like, there's a different Crystal that you were telling me about.
I didn't even think about that. I thought, I think maybe I was so tapped out. I thought she basically confirmed it.
She basically confirmed that he was not working with her. I think, this was another one of those things where it was trying to be smart and be like, oh, well, you know, you liberals, you just kind of believe everything and you don't bother to research it before you
just
react.
She literally said that. That was her soliloquy.
Like, God, y'all are trying way too hard right now. But yeah, there's no good guy, bad guy, really. But I don't think Don was actually working with Athena. But I don't know. When I was watching it and she actually said the word deplorables and they were kind of going back and forth about deplorables, I was like, the first thing that came to my mind is I was like, why the fuck did Hillary Swank take this role. And then I was like, I wonder if they casted her because her name was Hillary.
Really?
Because I was like, because I was sitting there watching this movie and I'm like, you guys are trying to be smart and deep and drop Easter eggs that are really whack. And I was like, I wonder if they really casted her. Because when she was talking, Hillary Clinton was the first one that came to my mind. It was like, these are the kind of goofy shit things that Hillary Clinton, or that, that people think Hillary Clinton would say. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I wonder if y'all cast a Hillary Swank for this role, because...
I just thought she couldn't get work. She just needed a check.
Maybe, maybe I'm looking too deep.
Ever since that Oscar,
a very shallow movie.
When she died in that movie, Million Dollar Baby, she died. That was her career doing down too.
But see, I thought that was why people considered her like a A-list actress. But she ain't done shit.
She ain't done shit since. Like, you can't even think of something that she's been in, really.
Wow. Well, yeah. Throughout this whole movie, it was just little shit like that. Where it got to a point where, unlike, like when I watch a Jordan Peele movie, I know I have to watch out for shit, because I know by the end of the film, there's going to be something that's going to reference back to something I saw at the beginning. Mm-hmm. And if I don't remember it, I'm going to be confused. But it was like halfway through this movie, that's all I was doing. It was just like, all right, I know they're going to drop another goofy fucking political reference that I don't really even have to think about that hard. It's just going to be so fucking obvious.
Did you like the flashback when towards the end where they explain how all this happened?
I thought they were going to do more with it, because when the flashback came, I'm like, okay, now we're going to get some information. And then it was just really to set up the fight. Mm-hmm. That was it. And I'm like, I really got no real story here. And that was the thing that bothered me. And then when they threw in the little part about, oh, you got the wrong crystal. And I'm like, okay, what are we actually really doing here?
Yeah,
this
yeah,
movie just to tell jokes.
Mm-hmm. And then, or then even worse, like the real ending was confusing, because I was expecting at least another fight scene from the airplane people, the stewardess or something like that. I thought she was going to try to like kill her at the end or whatever.
I did think,
but
the
it was
food
just,
was poison.
But it was just like,
why would
she? Because
I they've been riding with them for
they've been doing all kinds.
But they don't like them. It's just a job for them.
I didn't know how, but at the same time, I didn't know who to trust at that point. Because remember the limo drive or the.
Yeah,
they got the embassy guy. He ended up being one of them. The gas station people. You know what I'm saying? Like, you didn't know which ones were, who was good and who wasn't.
In retrospect, it don't make sense, because they were just employed, and why would they have poison on a plane? Because they didn't. There's no way they thought that they would even lose anyway.
Well, because I thought you were. Because speaking of references, remember when the gas station guy was drinking a soda, mm-hmm. and he thought his wife was poisoning him? Like, you poisoned the soda too? Like, mm-hmm. I was thinking like maybe that. Because she
that
asked her. Because she asked her like, how does the champagne taste? Or something like that.
Oh, that was only because it was that super expensive champagne.
Now that
it was the champagne that he was referencing at the very beginning of the movie. Remember?
Oh yeah,
the guy whose name is Dick. Again, super on the nose. But when he gets on, he was talking about this champagne that was the most expensive champagne because it was lost in World War II in some submarine or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't remember like when they were fighting, why she didn't let the bottle break?
I thought it was just an expensive bottle.
That shit was
I didn't know that was the
when she threw the bottle at her, she caught that shit.
Yeah. I took it because that was the bottle, the type of champagne that guy was talking about.
I didn't know it was that one. I just knew that assumed that it was, oh, this is an expensive bottle of champagne and it's just rich white people trying to.
Well, I didn't have that context, so that's why I was thinking more
Oh, yeah, because you didn't see
it. Yeah. But yeah. But yeah, that shit was funny. That ending fight scene was good. And I like the fact that it was like two women just duking it out.
Because I was one. We don't get that many women action scenes like that. Like, I can't think of. So like when you see a good one, it sticks out. So yeah. It's just like, wow, this was actually well done.
It was really well done.
Mm-hmm. I didn't think anybody was gonna win though, because I was thinking about the political part of it. Like you have saying, I was like, okay, so would they really have? Like the conservatives went out over the liberals. Would it just end up with them both dying?
I was thinking that too, because
made it seem that way.
Everybody was getting capped off quick. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like for a movie like this, you usually it's usually five people that make it towards the end, and maybe something else happens. But it was like, oh yeah, first 5 minutes, first 10 minutes, first 15. Mm-hmm. It was like somebody was getting capped, or at least a group of people. So I was thinking like maybe she could end up dying in the end, because the way she was getting fucked up.
Yeah, she was. When I'm thinking about the messaging, right? So there was always the political backlash and the controversy around it. So you have these two political affiliations going at each other in a movie. And, you know, do you really want to have one come out on top over the other? And that's why I thought when she was like, oh, I got you too. I thought that was going to end. They both were just going to bleed out and die. And then you really have no winner in the end. You just have, you know, the two parties that's basically fighting for different ideals.
And that's probably the original plan. But they probably went back and changed it. Because
it probably, I think you're right. I think it was probably more gruesome and more on, like, I can't imagine how more on the nose, but like more controversially on the nose than
it was.
I think
originally they said what Crystal's political affiliation was. I just think they went back and changed all that shit. Because I think at that point they really knew that they couldn't really make a super anti-liberal movie. You know, they already got the controversy points because the dumbass conservatives thought it was an anti-conservative movie. But then they went back and they're like, well, shit, if this turns out to be a really anti-liberal movie, then we're gonna kind of look bad.
Yeah.
So they're like, okay, well, let's just change it to where no one knows what the main antagonist's political affiliation is. So then it could just end. She gets away happily ever after. And then the whole point of the movie is, look, everybody, there's bad guys on both sides. But if you're somewhere in the middle, you're going to win.
That would have been corny, too.
Well, that's, I mean, that's basically what we got. That's what we got. Like, she's like a fucking libertarian. Basically, how they build it. Like, when it ended, I was just like, when that fight scene was done, because at first I was like, okay, they're both dead, because she was,
yeah, she was,
she got
stomach,
stabbed,
yeah,
twice
in the stomach,
the same, like the same general area. So I was like, okay, they're both gonna bleed out, and that's gonna be the message of the movie, that if you are a Democrat or Republican and you fight each other, you both lose. But then when she kind of like got up a little bit, I was like, oh, I see what they're doing. And then she cleared it, like,
I don't see how anybody can be awake for that. Like, you would pass out even as soon as it took.
She's a bad motherfucker, bro.
She was bad, though. I ain't gonna hold you. And that dress was, yeah, like, hey.
Hey, you ever watch Glow?
Mm-mm.
That's what she's from.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But when that happened, I was like, okay, that's the message of the movie. If you're somewhere in the middle,
You'll survive.
This political war that we have right now. It was just like, dude, really?
So can political movies work?
Yeah, Jordan Peele's movies are political, and they work fine. But I thought about that when the movie was over. I was like, am I only irked by this because I fall not on the Democrat side, but I fall more on the liberal side, so I'm just annoyed? Or am I annoyed because it's really bad writing kind of caked into a lot of great action sequences? And I think it's more of the second. Like, if this was a totally anti-liberal movie, but it was done really well, and it pointed out the parts about liberals that I can't fucking stand, I'd have been cool with it. But it was just not very intelligently written. If it wasn't for the action sequences, this movie would have been completely
trash. It's a shitball movie.
But can you say that about Jordan Peele's films?
No, you can't.
Right. And I think that's the problem with this movie. They needed somebody maybe a little bit smarter or better with writing than Lindelof. Because I know people think he's the best writer in the world, but he's not with this. He just wrote some great action sequences. But as far as the plot and the context, it's kind of bad.
Yeah,
and I feel like the satire I understand, because, you know, political cartoons are satire. But I really would have loved to see like a real hunt, like the shit was like fucking for real, and that it wasn't, you know, this big joke.
Yeah.
And I wonder if that would have made a better movie. You know,
no.
If they would have took it more serious.
I think the satire was the
I think it was a way for them to play it safe.
But we were satisfied with the action though already. So I don't know if we're making
the
action.
But it was everything else around it that was bad.
Exactly.
So,
yeah, that's what I'm saying. The story needed to be better.
But if it was more serious, I think the story would have been better.
But see, if it was more serious, then they would have completely missed the point they were trying to make. I don't think there was that's what I'm saying. I don't think Damon Lindelof is a good enough writer to have made that story serious and really work. The thing is with Jordan Peele films, I keep going back to him because he's the only one outside of, you know, Romero from doing the 70s stuff. But outside of him, Jordan Peele is the only person I can think of that's been able to pull off these subtly political and socially conscious movies that are caked in horror or shrouded in horror, wrapped in horror. I don't think Lindelof is smart enough for this, or he's not a good enough writer for this. Because, like, it was just like every joke that they made was just so overly stereotypical. Like, when they showed the Middle Eastern or Indian, I'm not sure where he's from, guy, And he says, well, I identify as, what do you say, a white woman or something?
Oh, no, he was playing the stereotypical, is this that towards the end when they were like review?
Yeah, when they were in that room and he says, I identify as a, he says something like, I identify as a white man, but I'm playing a refugee or something like that.
Oh, I forget. Yeah,
he says something, he definitely says, I identify as a white something. Mm-hmm. It was like, so now it's like, okay, now we're doing like the trans jokes. And it's like, but they're not funny. And I heard a couple people in my theater laugh, but I was just like, okay, so the thing is, there would have been no way for Lindelof to make those points without them being complete jokes.
Yeah.
Because he couldn't have made those serious. Because nobody would have taken the movie seriously. No one.
Probably laugh even harder at that than what we got here.
Oh, if he was trying to make it serious, yeah. I would have probably just at some point just walked out. Because I was like, I can't, this is too cringy, I can't take it. He's lucky that he made it more of a spoof. Because when I think of satires, I do think of movies like Night of the Living Dead or like Candyman or like Get Out. But this movie isn't smart enough to be put in those categories. It's just not. Hmm. It's more of a fucking Shaun of the Dead type of movie. Where,
like
Zombieland.
The initial reactions, I think there were some screenings done back in 2019, of the fall of 2019. It got a lot of negative reactions. Mostly the audience members were, again, expressing discomfort with the politics. That's pretty much most of what these were early reviews were about. But I believe the studio that released it, what is it, Universal, they took a risk on it anyway. Because I think a lot of studios passed on this project before it ended up at Universal. Because they were afraid of the political, you know, blowback from this film.
How's it doing?
It was made for $14 million, but we don't know how much marketing is separate from that. And right now the box office is making half that. Wow. But it could be because... It's an outbreak. Yeah, you know, this is an outbreak, so this is affecting a lot of... This is the worst time for this film to come.
If I'm them, I would blame it on the outbreak.
Of course, you have to.
Because when I went, since we didn't record Sunday, I went at 12:30, and it was in a small auditorium.
How many people were with you?
Maybe 10.
Wow. See, Mike, we were just talking about this. I only had like maybe less than 10.
I had less than 10 in my theater.
So it's like, that's why I don't blame all these other movies that are supposed to be coming out soon or this month. Like we were just talking about Quiet Place 2 got pushed back to the fall probably. They don't want this box office hit to affect, because they know they got a good product.
Yeah. What about the reviews? Any
It was split when I first watched on Rotten Tomatoes. It was split pretty fair between critic and audience, but I think the critic score now is higher than the audience score.
Really?
Yeah. The critic's consensus is that it's successful enough as a darkly humorous action thriller, but it shoots wide of the mark when it aims for the timely social satire.
Yes, and I agree with them 100%. 100%.
Yeah.
They would have been better off just making this a movie about hunting people, but then it would have just been like, all right, well,
we've seen this a bunch of times.
Yeah. Times, so yeah. What's the point?
Surviving the game.
Right, surviving the game, or if it was more like a battle royale / mm-hmm. Hunger Games type of thing, which is also kind of a political satire, but mm-hmm. I don't know, man. I don't know. I enjoyed the movie, but the political jokes just fucking irritated me a lot.
Yeah. When it was over, I literally just stood there and just looked at the screen.
Yeah, I did that for a little bit too. Like I was like,
there has to be an after credit scene because this was too fucking empty.
Yep.
Yeah, that's why I feel like the ending was so.
There wasn't one.
Yeah. The ending was. I was expecting something to leave me like, okay, that was a little exciting before we ended, but it was just like, okay, she gets on a jet. Well, she takes a shower, puts on a new dress, and gets on a jet and flies away.
Okay, so remember she was telling that story about the tortoise and the hare.
Yeah.
So did you catch the end when she sees the hare?
Yeah.
And so that was the whole point.
She was the hare?
Yeah. So when you look at it from the other standpoint, it was like the hare always wins. Mm-hmm. She adds an extra part because we already know the story of the tortoise and the hare. The tortoise wins the race. But in her version of the story, the hare then comes in and kills the tortoise's family, eats all of his food. So when you look at her standpoint, she comes into the house. She kills technically the tortoise. She eats the sandwich. Remember she was making that grilled cheese sandwich? And I think she said something about the cheese, how this isn't regular cheddar. Mm-hmm. It's like some fancy cheese. She eats the sandwich. She puts on her rich dress. She takes the bottle of whatever it was, champagne. Mm-hmm. And then it ends with the stewardess saying, how does the champagne taste? And she says, fucking great. So, like, it's like the underdog has finally gotten to the top and gets to taste what the elite has been tasting.
Because none of that shit was her.
Right.
But she put it on and wore it. And she did make that grilled cheese.
That grilled cheese looked good as hell. She made that motherfucker. It's almost as good as it. I wanted that shit. That one from Chef. You ever seen that movie, Chef?
All I know is the way she was chewing and biting it.
It had to be good.
Man.
I'm about to make me a grilled cheese when I get to the house. Let me keep talking about it. But
hey, let me test the
white meat. Yeah, like, have me a grilled cheese when I get to the house.
Bread already gone.
I thought that was kind of. Yeah, I know, right?
I'm saying, no bread in the stores.
I thought that was just kind of.
That was very on the nose. Because when I saw the hair, I was like, all right, I thought the movie was going to end on that note.
I did too.
And I was like, but we're better than that.
We're not, though. We're not better than that.
That's why I said it's a lot of petty laughs. It just reminded me of Family Guy. I'm like, this is a movie that I could see Seth MacFarlane like writing.
See, you know what? If this was a fucking cartoon, then this would have been fine. You're right. I would have been like, all right, well, this is what I expect. It's supposed to be goofy and very juvenile, but that's not what I was expecting. And from the fact that you had the actual president of the United States saying that people should not go see this film
for the wrong reasons,
of the money,
they made half.
You guys, I mean, I think if this wasn't for coronavirus, I think they would have at least broken even, if not done.
I think they would have probably at least done 20, 25.
Yeah, because it's had a weekend. Lot of pub.
Mm-hmm.
But like you said, if no one's going outside.
I don't know why they didn't push it back. Like
It was already too late probably. They already had it set up ready to go.
They canceled it and then, you know.
Because 2 weeks ago, we weren't even doing this outbreak stuff. And this is when they were promoting it. Mm. So then like when it premieres, it's.
But that's also another point. Like, after it was over, I'm like, all of that controversy, all of this stuff from the president for this.
Right.
And I don't know, maybe it's symbolic of his presidency at times.
Like, you know what? Now that you said it, I think this is like some lucky timing thing. Like, we knew this movie wasn't going to be that good, but now that the president's tweeting about it.
They didn't take advantage of it. I guess that's what I was
thinking. Oh, you're saying release it then?
Yeah, well, maybe. They didn't take advantage of all of the attention that it got.
Oh, well, no, they tried. Did you see the poster?
Uh-uh.
So the original poster was just a regular poster, but now the poster is like the most dangerous movie in the world. The movie the president doesn't want you to see. Like, it's all of the it's all of the controversy about the movie. That's what they put into the poster. Demented and evil, sick, violent. They tried, but I think, like you guys are saying, it was just too late. They couldn't have. If this had gone on a regular weekend, I think it would have done a whole lot better than it did.
Because it premiered, what, Friday the 13th?
Mm-hmm.
Black Friday?
Which would have been, I think that would have been perfect if it wasn't Corona. I think they would have been fine.
Yeah.
But, because, again, it's not a bad movie. It's entertaining.
It was worth my less than $6 for me.
It was definitely worth my $5.87.
They got me for $9.71.
I saw those seats you was wiping down. It was too expensive. I was like, yo.
But you know what? Did y'all ever see Compliance?
Mm-mm.
It's the other movie. Now, I don't know if Lindelof did it, but that was advertised as the same people that did Compliance. And I don't know that Lindelof did Compliance, but Compliance is fucking great. And it's another movie that tries to be kind of.
It's the same director.
The same director? Who's the director?
Craig Zobel.
Well, he did a fucking great job with Compliance. Mm. So when I was walking into the theater, that was something I'd seen online. Mm-hmm. That, oh, it's the guy that did Compliance. I still didn't see Lindelof's name. So I was like, okay, this has to be good. This has to be good. Ah, sharp right turn.
Mm. Well, I'm looking at directors now. When I see directors be a part of projects and like, you just directed this. Like,
I
you
guess
just
he did a good job.
Yeah, you did. Like I said, the cinematography, the way the angles, you don't work on the script. The script is what it is.
Yeah, you're
unless
right.
But now we see all these multi-hyphenated producers, mm-hmm. writers, actors. So we get used to that. But I'm thinking about like most directors, like usually they're just like, I did what the script said.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
So anything else?
Not that I can think of. Don't do this shit again, Lindelof.
He was on a roll for a little minute, right?
I wouldn't mind seeing them try this one more time.
Really?
Because I feel like this is leaning towards the Purge type of atmosphere. Like, to Mike's credit, I think you were trying to allude to this. Like, how many more times can we see? We've seen Hunger Games. We've seen Divergent. We've seen Maze Runner. We've seen, you know what I mean? Like, we've seen the.
I'm kind of.
Well, I'm just saying, like, these are the franchises that have come out that have done this kind.
Maze Runner, but I just wonder if they could get it right the second time. If somebody else wrote it, maybe.
Okay, yeah. If somebody else wrote it, sure.
Well, I'm thinking about Sharknado. Sharknado was so stupid that it became like this cult.
But they knew it was stupid going into it.
Yeah.
I know, but they didn't know it was going to take off like that.
Sure, but I think they walked into the room saying, we're going to make the most ridiculous, stupid movie. Where I really genuinely think that these guys thought that some of this shit was smart.
Okay.
Because, like, there were things that really just didn't make any sense. Like, why were they hiding Hilary Swank's face for half the movie?
Mm-hmm.
It's not like we knew her. What? Why did it make a fucking difference? And then they pan the camera around to show this big reveal that's not a big reveal, which makes me think that was another, like, afterthought. Like, this was something that happened in the original movie, but they changed it to suit this version.
Yeah.
And then, like even when she went into the store and she was like, how much are cigarettes? And they tell her, and then she kills them. And then it reveals, how did you know? Oh, because cigarettes only cost $6 in this place.
But how would you know that? And how do you know how to fight? How do you know?
That's
all
why
of
I said
stuff?
Well, because she was military.
Oh,
she said she was Afghanistan.
She was military.
Yeah.
But that if I died on that random ass fun fact,
you didn't think that maybe they just gave you the wrong change? You didn't even ask any questions. You're just like, oh, I'm just gonna kill these motherfuckers because I know that cigarettes cost $6 and you gave me back two. Like, it was just goofy. Some of the shit was just too goofy for me. Yeah.
I think the thing about Sharknado is just so ridiculous and unrealistic that, you know, it could become this cult thing and they could make more because they could just embrace the ridiculousness, which is what they do.
Yeah.
Which is why I watch every last one on with this. They're trying to be smart, and I don't know if they can get rid of that part.
They're trying to be both. They're trying to have their cake and eat it too with this. Like, I want to be ridiculous, but also be smart.
See, they need to just go either full Sharknado or full, like, Fast and the Furious and just be like, we're going to make this as ridiculous and goofy and stupid as possible. But they need to understand that when you do that,
you take
all serious out of it. You can't try to force in these grand political statements. You just can't.
Yep, just embrace
so just
it.
Do one or the other. But
go to Netflix.
This didn't work. Yeah, go to Netflix.
I was thinking that too. Like, again, like, in my head, like, sometimes I'm looking at movies like, this would have been great for Netflix.
And it could have, like, thinking about how Netflix works and the way that certain things take off from there. Imagine they put it on Netflix, 14 mil, you know, Netflix paid and whatever. It could have been something that could have went viral. We see the dumbest shit going viral on Netflix.
Bird Box. And
this would have definitely been viral. Love is Blind and all kind of little weird shit.
Mm-hmm.
So this could have went viral on Netflix just because of just the nature of how it works and how people talk.
Yep. I agree with that 100%.
All right. Well, that was our review for The Hunt. Let us know in the FPS Podcast Reddit thread what you guys thought about it. Let us know what we missed. And just overall thoughts of the film. Also, check us out on Twitter. Also, make sure you subscribe and rate the podcast. We're trying to get into more of a professional critic lane. So make sure you give us a good rating, and also share us around. Let us let you know your friends know what we got going on.
Yeah, we came out in the Rona for you.
Right.
Yeah, we dedicated for
that's
it.
That's dedication, boy.
Hey. So, all right, that's us for this week. We out. Peace. All right.